Very good. Now, thank you again, everyone. And I would like you to turn on your handout now to the readings page. And I'm going to read through, I think I'll just read it myself today, Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. And I didn't get all the verses of that chapter. Is there any? There might be one there. If anybody doesn't have a sheet, it's all written out on the page, so you don't really need to use your Bible today. But I want to be sure everybody does have the page. Great. Okay. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Whilst he tasted the wine, Belshazzar commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was the king Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banqueting house. And the queen said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in this same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake unto Daniel, Art thou Daniel, which are of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought out of Jewry? I have heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor, But when his heart was lifted up with pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, till he knew that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this. But thou hast lift up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him. And this is the writing that was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Let's just pray. Our gracious God and Father, we are thankful for thy precious word today. We are thankful that it's living and powerful and sharp. And we pray, Father, that every heart bowed before thee, including the preacher, will hear the voice of God and see how important it is to humble our hearts before thee. So we ask thy blessing and the guidance of thy Spirit now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The adventures of Daniel are exciting. And the prophecies in the book of Daniel are astonishing. So it might be overlooked that the book of Daniel is actually about a man who provides for us a practical example of godly living in the face of opposition. And in this chapter, when God needed a representative, Daniel was pure and ready to give God's message. Daniel's godliness was so bright and shining that he was called to speak in the middle of the wickedness of this party of a wicked king. And yet, Daniel was so highly respected, he walked right in there and told them what God said. So our practical application for Christians this morning is, let's be like Daniel. Let's be pure and godly and able to give advice and give out the word of God in the time of need of others who are desperate. If you turn over on your note page now, you'll notice the subject title is When God Writes, but it also could be called the writing on the wall, the writing on the wall. Most people use that in the vernacular, oh, I guess the writing's on the wall for him, meaning like he's going to get fired or something. Let's just look at what it means, the writing on the wall. So first we think about verses 1 to 4, the blasphemous party. Belshazzar, moved by defiance against the God of Israel, used God's holy vessels to get drunk. He and all his loose-living partiers praised other gods while holding God's own holy vessels from the temple in their hands. It was an ultimate act of blasphemy. In Scripture, gold is often used as a symbol of the deity of Christ. Silver typifies God's redemption through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Brass speaks of judgment. Iron, strength. Wood, particularly the acacia wood in the tabernacle, presents to us the humanity of Christ. And the stone, the Lord Jesus. Actually, he is typified by the chief cornerstone of God's building. So all those mocking words to praise the other gods of iron and of stone and of gold, all those mocking words of Belshazzar and his people were far more insulting than he and his friends realized. It was defiance against the true God. And God responded. Verse 5, when God writes. Verse 5 is explained in verse 23. The God in whose hand thy breath is, thou hast not glorified. God's hand was in control of Belshazzar's breath and all his ways. God's hand sent that message. Mene, your days are numbered. And you're finished. You'll blaspheme God no more. Your time of wickedness is filled up. And God said mene twice, did you notice? Which adds emphasis to the fact you're finished. I'm not taking it anymore from you, God said. Tekel, you are weighed in the balance scale and you're found wanting, meaning lacking. In other words, Belshazzar, you have come short of the glory of God. You're weighed in the balance. I wonder, dear soul here today, have you ever put yourself in God's balance scale? The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you aren't clear on the fact that you are a sinner, God has nothing to offer you. What he has to offer is for sinners who humble their heart before him. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. I know that I am included in the ungodly. I know that Jesus died for me. I've weighed myself in God's balance scale and realized I'm a wicked sinner. But he saved me. He changed me. When God revealed this message to Belshazzar, it actually was a wonderful act of mercy. Did you ever think about it that way? Here God was warning this man, writing on his own wall, and saying, Belshazzar, get right or die. God knew that an enemy army was on their way. In fact, at the end of that story, he only had that night to get right with God. The enemy army was on the way, and God knew that. And God, through Daniel, was giving Belshazzar one last opportunity to repent. What if today was your last opportunity to repent. None of us are assured of tomorrow. None of us are assured of tomorrow. You could go out there and get hit and die by a vehicle. Is your heart right with God now? It can be. It can be. Verses 6 to 9. Human frailty. Oh, Belshazzar's knees shook. He was terrified. God noticed his knees and mentioned them. Perhaps God would like to have seen Belshazzar's knees bow down in worship, like we saw Josiah do there when he knew that things weren't right with God. But Belshazzar needed to bow down. But his knees shook anyway, but they didn't bow. Do you know the Bible tells us that one day every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. But if you don't bow to him now on this earth, in this lifetime, it'll be too late. You'll have to bow then, but it'll be too late. You'll go out to a lost eternity. Think, Belshazzar, this most powerful man in a massive kingdom, 120 provinces, he shook before the hand of God. He shook. His name, Belshazzar, means whom Bel, a god, whom Bel protects. Belshazzar. Bel is protecting me. Daniel's name was Belteshazzar. He asked the king to change it to Belteshazzar, meaning whom Bel does not protect. He knew that. That's why he had his name Belteshazzar. But this man, he still thought he was protected by a false god. So Belshazzar called all his wise men to come and read the writing. But did you notice? None of them could. None of them could. The spiritual agents of this world are valueless counterfeits and powerless when it comes to understanding the Bible. Verses 10 to 12. The forgotten man. In verse 10, we see that the queen was not part of this wild party. But you know, she cared enough for the king to come in and to advise him about Daniel. Verse 11, there is a man in thy kingdom. What a blessing. Right nearby and with us. Do you know Daniel portrays a picture for us of the Lord Jesus Christ in these verses? The Lord Jesus is the only true prophet who can tell what's coming. He can tell what's coming. Daniel could tell what's coming. The Lord Jesus can tell what's coming. He said, Lord Jesus said, John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, the Lord Jesus said, quote, the hour cometh, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and come forth, those that have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And see, under your footnote number 1, there's footnote number 1, and there's 3 different verses about other times when God writes. And you see the third quote there, where it starts with the dead. It's referring to I'm thinking about the Lord Jesus speaking about the time when judgment will happen. And that verse says, "The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their words." You know that God has a book about every work in your life. And you know, one day people are going to say, I've been good. Well, let's have a look. And God's going to look in that book and say, "Oh, your name was Bill. Oh, your last name was Stanley. Oh, here it is. I see, Bill, what you did do, that you didn't think anybody ever saw it. Doesn't look very good to me. And I see there's some things that you did do that were good, but your evil thoughts. Out of the heart came forth adulteries, pride, covetousness, lies. Doesn't look very good, Bill." And then God has another book, the book of life. And he'll open up that book. "But whosoever was not found written in the book of life, I don't see your name here. Depart from me," was cast into the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. That's so serious. So Daniel was a true prophet of God, telling a message of judgment to come. Are you a true prophet? Telling the truth, the whole truth? It's easy to tell the good news, but you know you've got to tell the bad news. We're sinners, and there's judgment coming. The good news is Jesus loves you. He died for you. He paid your sin debt. He rose again from the dead, and he can take you with him to heaven if you believe in him by faith. So Daniel portrays Christ, also noted down, is that it says about Daniel he had an excellent spirit. So did the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus was totally sinless as the only begotten Son of God. Daniel could dissolve doubts, and he could explain hard sentences. The Lord Jesus' enemies tested him with difficult questions, but he answered them all, dissolving all doubts that he truly was the Messiah. He made the deaf to hear, the blind to see. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. Going back to that word, "There is a man in thy kingdom," I like the thought that the Lord Jesus is nearby. Romans chapter 10 and verses 8 to 10 say, "The word is near you, the word that we preach. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." Have you ever prayed, "Lord, save me"? Shortest prayer in the Bible, "Lord, save me." But if you pray that, mean it, the Lord will save you. Look at now at that footnote number 2, if you could, at the bottom of your page. Just to see some other ways that Daniel presents a picture of Christ. We can look down the asterisk number 2 there. Of course, Daniel was just a man and not the Savior of mankind, who our Lord Jesus is. Yet doubtless, doesn't Daniel foreshadow our Lord in a picture? If you look down there, where it quotes from chapter 6 of Daniel, Daniel is envied by other presidents and princes within his own kingdom. There was envy that led to unfair accusations and deception. And even when Daniel kneeled 3 times a day in prayers, his enemies charged that Daniel acted against the king. I was thinking of the Lord kneeling in the garden and how the ruler Pilate overruled, couldn't overrule and condemned him to death. And also in the book of Daniel, in that lion's den, it was sealed. And the lions made me think of Psalm 22, the prophecy where the Lord said, "I am among the lions. Save me from the lion's mouth." But Daniel came out of the pit. And that also is a picture. There was a stone laid at the mouth of the den, and it was sealed with the signature of the king. And the Lord Jesus was in a sealed tomb, and the stone was rolled away. There was an angel's presence with both Daniel and the Lord Jesus. And Daniel and the Lord Jesus were exalted after their experience. One day, the Lord Jesus, the enemies of the Lord Jesus, will face judgment. So there's quite a few interesting parallels. But the main question today is, how close are you with the Lord Jesus? How are things between you and the Lord Jesus? Is he a forgotten man in your kingdom of your life? Is he the forgotten man in the kingdom of your life? He's the only one who can dissolve doubts and hard sentences and bring your life a message of life. In verses 13 to 16, still on your note page, the king makes an offer. He would like to feel that he was a contributor to Daniel's well-being. In a way, it's like saying he could earn what Daniel had to offer. But man's resources can't play any part in providing reconciliation with God. Daniel would speak truth for truth's sake and not for money. Someone once said, "Salvation is free, but it's not cheap." Salvation is God's free gift to you, but it costs the Son of God his life's blood to purchase your salvation. Have you ever received the free gift of eternal life through Jesus our Lord? Lord, I'll take it. I'll take it. God has a gift to give you, but he paid dearly. Without the shedding of his blood, there could be no forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "By grace you're saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's not, I've been a good person." Salvation is the gift of God that you personally have to receive humbly before him as a sinner, as a guilty sinner, and accept God's free gift. Are you a possessor of eternal life today? You can be. Verses 17 to 28, the truth learned without cost. Let's just read verses 18 to 23 again. I think these are so significant. Verses 18 to 23. Thank you for turning. It's good if you can see it yourself. Verse 18, "O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and honor, but when his heart was lifted up with pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne. They took his glory from him until he knew that the most high God rules in the kingdom of men. He appoints it over whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this, and has brought the vessels before thy lords and thy wives, have concubines, have drunken them." And verse 23 finishes, "And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified?" Everybody take a deep breath. Go ahead, take a deep breath. Do you know where you got that breath from? The God in whose hand thy breath is. Are you using your breath to glorify God? The Most High God. And whose are all thy ways? Everything is kept track of by God, of your life's work and mine. That's humbling news, or should be. But Belshazzar, after all that Daniel said, would not humble his heart before the true God. This is the key point of the message today. All of us, including me, have to humble our hearts before the Most High God. If you have your Bible, just turn to Psalm chapter 39. We're just about done. Psalm chapter 39 and verse 5. See what God's word says. This verse really struck me. Psalm 39 and verse 5, the second part says, "Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." There's a verse that should humble the heart of any honest person. I want to turn to one more verse in the Psalms. Psalms 34 and verse 18. Psalm 34, back a few pages. And verse 18 says, "The Lord is nigh." Remember, God is near. Daniel was near. He was right there in the kingdom to be consulted. The Lord is nigh. God is near. He's near to your heart today. He's trying to speak to all of us today. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saves those of a contrite spirit." That's a wonderful verse. Do you know what contrite means? It means sighing over my sin. Boy, I have a lot to answer for before God. But I have a contrite heart and a broken heart. Ah, I want to be better, but I don't seem. God understands that. He's near to the one that has a broken and a contrite heart. And if we come to him like that, "Lord, I'm just a sinner, a guilty sinner. I need your salvation. I accept your gift. I realize your son Jesus died and paid a price of my sin debt with his blood at Calvary. And now he's alive and he's calling and he wants you to come to him." Won't you come to him today? Finally, verse 30. Verse 30, back on our note page. The king, Belshazzar, kept his word, promoted Daniel to third ruler in the kingdom. But he lost his soul. You know how I know? It would have told us if he humbled his heart and dropped on his knees and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And I believe God would have. And that's the reason why God sent that message. Have you seen the writing on the wall? You're found wanting, friend. You need God in your life. There's a day to be answered for your sins. But Jesus paid your debt if you only humble before him. And that night, Belshazzar was slain. He kept his word, but he lost his soul. If he had any thoughts about kneeling down and saying, "Lord, save me," he put them off. One night, and it was over. He was slain. Let's pray. Father, we just pray that there wouldn't be any soul here today who would put off the matter of salvation. Lord, you've provided the wonderful way for sinners, all of us are sinners, to just get down on our knees before thee and say, "Lord, save me. Come into my life and make me the person you want me to be. Thank you for paying the price of my debt with your blood. Father, we pray you'll speak to souls and help us to be the kind of people you really want us to be. Help us to be people like Daniel, who aren't ashamed of the full message, even if it's costly. So thank you, Lord, for all you've shown us. Bless your people here. We thank thee again for all the children. We pray they'll really love and read your word too. Thank you for all your blessings today. We ask your blessing on the work of your spirit in this place. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. The message is over.